when she went missing from a base in Texas, the Army assumed she had gone AWOL. Only her family and friends kept fighting to find her. Her suspected killer waged a daring escape, but it was his girlfriend who ultimately brought him down. This is the true crime story of Vanessa Guillen, the U.S. soldier who changed how the military handles harassment forever. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Wonderful to see you today if you're joining me for the first time, and thank you to the usual characters for coming back every time. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. Vanessa Guillen, the subject of the upcoming Netflix documentary I Am Vanessa Guillen, lived to run and play soccer since her birth on September 30th, 1999. Her mother says school was her love. Born and raised in Houston along five brothers and sisters, she was living the dream of many Mexican immigrant girls. Her mother stayed at home with the children while her dad worked as a machine operator. The family were devout Catholics. Vanessa's love of working out made her strong, and her dad said she could really defend herself. When her local gym shut down in 2020 due to COVID, she'd carry her boyfriend around and use him to do squats. And she was also beautiful, very beautiful, and usually smiling or laughing her contagious laugh. As a defender and lover of her country, Vanessa had a goal of joining the military starting at age 10. She felt it was her mission. So she joined the Army in June 2018, and after basic training, her family said they could see a change in her, a positive one. Her skin was glowing, she loved what she was doing, and she was being stationed close to her family, a few hours away from Houston and Fort Hood. She was able to come home every weekend to see them.
What do we have here?
As soon as she got to the unit, we were like friends immediately. She didn't talk to too many people, but I guess apparently I'm like kind of funny at sometimes, and like she'd crack up all the time. Like her laugh was very, very contagious.
I was one of Vanessa's closest friends. Sometimes we would go like running like 3 miles or a few miles, and she would always like beat me.
Vanessa trained as a small arms and artillery repairer, so she would maintain and inventory the Army's weapons stores. It should have been a dream. But shortly after she arrived at Fort Hood, the family saw another change in Vanessa, and this one seemed troubling. She was too skinny. There were bags under her eyes. She seemed sad. She told her sister she didn't want to be there anymore.
You started seeing her eye bags. You started seeing she didn't want to eat. She started getting skinny again.
In March 2020, Vanessa got engaged to Juan, the boyfriend she'd met at a quinceanera and danced with all night long. She seemed happier. But a month later, on April 22nd, 2020, the 20-year-old stopped responding to her family. For hours, they called and texted, but everything went unanswered. Her last message had been to Juan, and it said she had to go to work in a bit. Her sister called the base that night, where they said Vanessa had been seen about lunchtime. She simply hadn't come back when she was sent to do something, but no one had really taken note of it. They actually marked her present at roll call, even though no one had seen her there. The family didn't understand how someone could go missing on a military base. They called and said, "Lock it down and look for her." There were security cameras, but they were few and far between, and rudimentary, like something out of another century. The family decided to drive the 3 hours to Fort Hood to help in the search. Her sister texted Vanessa, "I'm going to find you, I promise." But when they arrived at 3 a.m., the staff sergeant was sleeping, not looking for Vanessa. He told them to come back in the morning. In the morning, they discovered that all of Vanessa's things were still in the armory where she'd been working the previous day, including her keys and ID. The only thing missing was her phone. The military police called the local police to see if they had any insight into Vanessa's whereabouts, but they hadn't encountered her. The Army's Criminal Investigative Division was called in. Vanessa's family and fiancé put up posters around town over the next couple of days, and her sister tweeted about the fact that there was a missing soldier. She didn't expect anything to happen. It was more an act of desperation. But this was the news media's first exposure to the story, and they picked it right up. It was only then that the Army finally sent out a press release saying that her last known location was the parking lot of her combat team's headquarters at 1 p.m. Other soldiers said they'd seen her there, but they weren't from her unit and couldn't come to a consensus on what she was wearing, nor really even what time it had been. The military wasn't talking, so everyday people started up their own searches and protests. Every Friday, family and friends would picket outside Fort Hood with signs and banners demanding answers. But Vanessa's mom thought she knew why the Army was playing it close to the vest. A few months before Vanessa's disappearance, she told her mom that she was being harassed by a sergeant. He had followed her into a shower. But she was concerned about retaliation and didn't want to report it to her superiors, knowing that there was no guarantee she'd be taken seriously or the Army would choose to prosecute. On the day of the disappearance, she texted one of her Army friends a screenshot of the weather to show that the hike they planned might not work out, and then she reported to work. She left her keys and ID in the arms room where they were later found, texted a coworker that she was coming to see him in another room, went to that other room, and then texted someone the serial number of a machine gun as part of her job. She never returned to her belongings. The friend who was supposed to hike with her went to her barracks room to find her later, but her roommate hadn't seen her. Her Jeep was still in the parking lot. The hiking friend asked around to find out who Vanessa had been working with and then called up that person, 20-year-old specialist Aaron David Robinson, to see if he knew what happened. Robinson acted like he had just woken up and said that he hadn't talked to Vanessa. The next day, Robinson's superior asked him about seeing her, and this time he said they had spoken, but it was just professional and not much was said. The day after that, the Army decided Vanessa had gone AWOL. A few days later, when Army investigators interviewed Robinson, the last person to see Vanessa, he said he left work at the end of the day and went to the home he shared with his girlfriend off base. He had to go back to the base at 6:30 p.m. to use a computer there to sign up for a training, but then he returned right back home. So they interviewed the girlfriend, and she backed up his story. On May 18th, when Vanessa had been missing for almost a month, investigators questioned two witnesses who claimed that they saw Robinson leaving his room in the armory that evening when he was supposedly using the computer with a huge, tough box that looked heavy as he put it in his car and drove off. So the investigators talked to Robinson again the next day, and he allowed them to search his phone to see if they could find some evidence of a relationship between him and Vanessa. But nothing was found. When Vanessa's mom did an interview and brought the harassment allegations to light, the story went viral, picking up steam as actress Selma Hayek and the family's local congresswoman, Sylvia Garcia, made social media posts about the case. So in June, the Army was basically forced to claim that they had begun to investigate the harassment claims. And they started to release photos of soldiers canvassing Fort Hood to show that they were totally taking action. And then on June 19th, when Vanessa had been missing for nearly 2 months, human skeletal remains were found close to the base in a field. At first, the Army thought they were too old to be Vanessa, and indeed, they turned out to be another Fort Hood soldier who had been missing for a year and considered AWOL. The same mistakes were made with him that were made with Vanessa. There hadn't even been a reward for information about him until there was a reward for Vanessa. But with the Army determining that it had been foul play and not desertion, he was at least given his rank back, and his family began to receive benefits. At this point, finally investigators were able to look into cell tower data, which showed that Aaron Robinson, thought to be the last person to have seen Vanessa alive, was outside of Fort Hood on the day of the disappearance in Belton, Texas. And not just anywhere in Belton, on a bridge by a river, and not just at any time, but at 1:59 a.m., when he was supposedly home with his girlfriend all that evening. A team headed to the Leon River with the help of the famed search and rescue nonprofit, Texas EquiSearch. They found a burn pile in a wooded area, but not everything in the burn pile had been turned to ash. What remained was the lid of a tough box. The Texas Rangers dug underneath the burn pile, but shockingly, nothing of significance was found. Still, their guts told them this meant something. So investigators went back to the cell phone records and realized that Robinson, who was supposedly home with his 22-year-old girlfriend, Cecily Ann Aguilar, on the night of the disappearance, he had actually called her several times in the middle of the night. Once is maybe an accidental butt dial, but this was repeated calls when he was supposed to be sleeping right by her. Now, Cecily was married to another soldier, and in 2019, they allowed Aaron Robinson to move in with the two of them out of the goodness of their hearts. Cecily told friends that her marriage was going through a rough patch, and she'd found solace in being able to talk to Robinson. One thing led to another, and she moved out of the house. Robinson came with her. The husband was, of course, none too pleased with this and started spreading the rumor around the base that Robinson had put the moves on his wife. When investigators interviewed her about those many cell phone calls in the middle of the night from Robinson, she said that her phone was lost and he was trying to help her find it. at 3 a.m. And then on June 30th, a crew of contractors working on a fence smelled something horrible along the Leon River and went to check it out. What they found was concrete poured over a small area, but a little bit of human hair was sticking out of it. Local police and Texas Equisearch uncovered 3 separate shallow graves, all covered with concrete, dirt, and rocks. The search team called the burial sophisticated because of the way it all blended into the surrounding area. So well that everyone had missed it before, even though they'd been looking in that exact area. The founder of Texas Equisearch called Vanessa's sister and described the hair. He said there was a lot of silence on the phone after that. The Army wanted to double down on Robinson at this point, but didn't want him getting suspicious that he was a person of interest yet again. So they made up this story that he'd violated COVID-19 protocols and needed to be in quarantine for 24 hours. A team of soldiers working in shifts stood guard outside of the room where they held him, and a supervisor told them to tackle him if he tried to leave. Meanwhile, investigators hunted down his girlfriend, Cecily, yet again, and this time she told them that, okay, she and Robinson were out late that night, but just stargazing, no big deal, you know, the romance. They didn't believe the story at all, and after being pressed, she admitted that Robinson killed Vanessa. He told her he bludgeoned a female coworker with a hammer multiple times in the armory and put her in a tough box. Robinson picked Cecily up at the gas station where she worked and drove them to the Leon River that night, where they both hacked up the body with an axe and a machete, tried to burn the parts, and dug 3 holes for the dismembered body. They then returned 3 days later and tried to hide the holes with the concrete, rocks, and dirt. Investigators had a hard time identifying Vanessa's body by her medical records because her face had been beaten beyond recognition. With Cecily newly cooperating, investigators had her call Robinson in quarantine to mention the case, and he didn't deny having anything to do with it. He texted her news stories about the case, saying that remains had been found. It's likely that he got suspicious then suddenly about why he was being held, and after a call with his mom where he told her not to believe the reports she was seeing, he dashed out of the room past the guard. The question remains if the guard was on his side or just outsmarted, but Robinson was able to grab a car and escape into the nearby city outside of the base. 2 hours later, the police were able to locate him, and in the streets of Killeen, Texas, with officers surrounding him, Robinson put an end to his own life. He was born in Calumet City, Illinois, outside of Chicago, and spent 7 months in Iraq with the Army. He died on June 30th, 2020. The Army said that they don't have evidence that Robinson was the one harassing Vanessa. However, his girlfriend Cecily later confessed to a fellow inmate that she knows Robinson assaulted Vanessa's body after the murder. His girlfriend says Vanessa saw a photo of her on Robinson's cell phone lock screen that day, and he was concerned she would report him to supervisors. I guess because his girlfriend was officially still married and you're not allowed to have affairs in the Army? Oh, hold on. This just in. Article 134 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice makes it a crime to commit adultery. Today I learned. And even before this, Robinson was known to have thoughts about killing his fellow soldiers in combat, so I'm not sure the machine gun room was the best place to have him stationed on the base anyway. The Army admits that their findings indicate Vanessa was harassed twice, although by someone other than Robinson. They say it was a superior who badgered her about having a threesome and then watched her as she took a quote-unquote field bath, cleaning herself in the woods during a training exercise. The Army won't release his name, but says he's being held accountable. Vanessa's family, on the other hand, claims that she was going to file a harassment claim against Robinson, and when she told him that day, he got so angry that he beat her. Whatever the case, the Army at least took some responsibility for the response, or lack thereof, to Vanessa's disappearance. An investigation and subsequent report found that Vanessa had told her supervisor about the 2 instances of harassment, but they were never taken up the chain of command. Because of the Army's report, 21 officers and soldiers were disciplined or recommended for discipline. Some were relieved of their duties or received letters of reprimand and will likely not be able to serve again. The report found major flaws in the culture at Fort Hood that allowed harassment and assault. Women had to be in survival mode as they were preyed upon, but were fearful about reporting it. 1 general and 1 colonel were completely relieved of their leadership duties there. The I Am Vanessa Guillen Act of 2020 was signed into law by President Biden and makes it so that harassment is a crime in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Also, the decision whether to prosecute assault or harassment in the military will be made outside of the soldier's chain of command. They'll also be given protection against retaliation. Vanessa's family attorney said, "We literally moved the mountain here." Vanessa's death was ruled to be in the line of duty, which means her family can receive compensation and benefits. It doesn't begin to make up for what they lost, but at least they can know that her death made a difference in the lives of others. They've also filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the U.S. government that alleges harassment, abuse, and some other words that I can't say on YouTube if I don't want to get banned. Her family says that she had thoughts of harming herself as she had to cope with what she'd gone through. A gate in the area where she served at Fort Hood remembers her. Cecily Aguilar will go to trial in January 2023 for her part in hiding Vanessa's body. And in breaking news, Vanessa's 16-year-old cousin was critically wounded at the end of October after he was shot in the head. Alan Guillen was at the P. Terry's restaurant in Southeast Austin around noon when he was shot. There are no more details as of yet, but I'll keep an eye on this. I Am Vanessa Guillen premieres on Netflix on November 17th. So what do you think? Do you believe that Specialist Robinson really wasn't the one harassing Vanessa? Or does it seem like part of the cover-up? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.